It was, that picture is in June 2008, before we were going to Mexico. I didn't know much about spiritual warfare, but as we were in the mission field, we were learning how to face spiritual opposition. And so Jesus was saying to us, go to Jerusalem and you will receive power. And the only way that we can do what we are doing is by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no other way that we can do what we're doing if it's not by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Okay, so this year in Canada, we have been visiting our churches, so around 15 churches in our cluster so far, and we've met with several leaders, and so we also want to take this opportunity to thank our Deerfoot Saskatchewan Alliance Church. We started our journey, like Pablo said, in the year 2008, and you became part of our story and part of God's story in the nations. So you have been of great support and encouragement. We're so thankful for our community of faith here in Fort Saskatchewan, our small group. And there's many ways in which you have blessed us, setting up our house, coming back, letting us borrow a vehicle, taking care of our kids while we are away, or giving them rides to school, dog sitting our dog Principe, coming over and praying with us, opening your home to us, helping us with the translation of Pablo's thesis, sharing life. It's been so important to us, like your prayers, your messages, your, just your support through all this journey. It's been great. So this past month, we were part of the Interwoven event in Greece. So this was a gathering of all the international workers working in the sand and the silk region, that is Africa, Middle East, and Europe. And we were listening to powerful stories of what God is doing in each region. It was very encouraging. And there's a picture of the president of the Alliance, Dave Hearn, and he shared a powerful message about piercing the darkness and deciding whether we wanted to be wimps, whiners, or warriors. It was really good. Then after that, I arrived. I was 2 days here in Canada, and then I got on another plane to go to Argentina for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. So many times as I was on the mission field, I found myself worrying about my parents' spiritual health. I had a burden for them. And my mom had prayed with Pablo and me to receive Christ many years ago, but we weren't sure where her faith was at. My dad showed no interest at that time. So many times I thought, Lord, I've decided to follow you. My family has decided to follow you and to go to many nations to share the gospel with others. Will you reach out to my parents? Will you do the work in my family? I was in Argentina this month, and we had been reading the book of John with my mom and praying. So in the mornings, having a devotional time. And one day my dad joined us, and I asked them if they had said yes to Jesus. Where was their faith? Where were they putting their faith? Was Jesus really their Lord? There was a minute of silence, and my mom said, let's pray. And she, with her mouth, confessed that Jesus is her Lord. And my dad followed. And my dad has always been very private about his faith. And so this was the first time I heard my dad prayed out loud. It was a very special moment for me. So saying goodbye this time was easier because I know that if I don't see them again, I will see them in heaven. So my encouragement to you this morning is not to give up on those people that the Lord has placed in your heart. Keep praying for them, because God is working in them. The Holy Spirit is working in them. He's at work, and he will be doing the work in them.
In September 2017, in Forma, the Bible seminary in Spain, they were inviting me to teach a class, and the class was the doctrine of salvation and the human being. So always I try to connect the theology of salvation with the inner healing that we need in our lives. These Bible principles and concepts need to be alive in our inner life. And so I was teaching during the whole week. And on Thursday night, one lady, Martha, started crying in the middle of the class, we have some students on site and another students are online. Most of them are in Latin America. So I stopped the class and we went to see what's happened with this lady. And we were praying for her. We had a meaningful time of prayer. And it was, I think, was a powerful time of healing for her during this class. She sent me a message later when she was sending all the assignments for the correction and grading the assignments. And she said, "Thank you, Pastor. Doing this final paper for me has been a great blessing. Since I have been able to experience healing and restoration in my inner being, especially writing part of my biography, God has a very particular way of treating us. Once again, He has surprised me. Blessings and thanks." I was given an assignment to them that the students could write their own biography and connect the biography, their own biography, their life, connecting with the healing principles in the salvation in Jesus Christ and the theology that they were learning. She was quoting John Stott. I gave the book Basic Christianity to them to read. And she quoted this paragraph from the book. "In countries to which Christian civilization has spread, large number of people have covered themselves with a decent but thin veneer of Christianity. They have allowed themselves to become somewhat involved, enough to be respectable, but not enough to be uncomfortable. The message of Jesus was very different. He never lowered his standards or modify his conditions to make his call more readily acceptable. He asked his first disciples, and he has asked every disciple since to give him their thoughtful and total commitment. Nothing less than this will do." As I was teaching this course, I like when the students want to embrace Christianity with the boldness that the Bible is suggesting to all of us. Mark 12, 30-31 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this." So the question that I have for you: are you living your life loving the Lord with all your heart?
So after a couple of years in Spain, and as God was prompting me to be more involved in the Spanish community, I decided to approach the principal of the school to offer help as a volunteer with the ESL program. So the principal agreed, and I got in touch with the lead teacher in the elementary ESL department. So I worked with groups of kids, of 25 kids in four different classes, so around 100 kids every week, and from first to third grade. So I would swap the grades, and I would prepare lessons that involved games, fun activities for the kids to review the vocabulary that the classroom teachers were focusing on that week. But the days that were really meaningful to me were the days when I had the freedom to develop a lesson to teach English culture and bring in a biblical principle. So growing up in Spain can be quite tough. We've shared about this in our previous presentations about the culture, and there is racism and much bullying, especially as the kids get older. Kindness is not a cultural value in most families or even at school. So teachers often yell at the kids to get to control the class. Kids are not nice to one another. So after some research, I realized that the school tries to implement a protocol to deal with bullying. But in the end, it all has to do, and it comes down to what's in the heart of kids and the things that they have been learning growing up. So during my cultural teaching, I decided to integrate language and faith learning. For example, for Thanksgiving Day, we talked about the importance of being thankful for what we have, our families, our homes, even our pets. And the kids love sharing the important things in their lives. For Valentine's Day, we talked about the characteristics of love based on 1 Corinthians 13. We then talked about what happens to our heart. So I had a heart made out of cardstock that we passed around and crumpled when we use harsh words, when we leave people out. The kids were naming all these things that they had been hurt by. When we look down on people because of their origin or differences. Easter and Christmas were great opportunities to share about Christ. During St. Patrick's Day, we talked about the importance of forgiveness and how St. Patrick needed to forgive the Irish people for making him a slave. During my farewell party, one of the kids said, "Silvina, thank you for teaching us how to love and to love one another." Other kids mentioned that they had fun learning during that time, and I thought, "Lord, this is all about you. This is your work in these kids, and they're getting the message. It's your message." So I love the experience in the school, and my question for you today is, are you letting God's word fill your heart so that you can be an instrument of love for others?
When you are for a long period of time in a country like Spain, many times you feel that the culture is so dry and they are not coming to the Lord easily. It's hard to build friendships and relationships with them. Sometimes you start wondering if that is worthy. So I had a question during a period of time, and the question was if that is worthy to be in Spain. But when I was in Spain, as I was learning about the culture and learning about the healing ministry that we want to see, we went to Galicia to a marriage retreat, and we were trained by one of our mentors, that Jaime and Susana de Brim. They are in Galicia, but they are from Holland, and they had a ministry that started in 1974 when I was 2 years old. These guys, their passion is to help pastors and leaders and missionaries to find healing, and later to go to the congregations and to bring healing to the congregations. That was January 2018. In February 2018, I went to Argentina. A friend of mine invited me for a conference that they had a ministry that is called Ministerio de Restauración. It's a restoration ministry. It was an amazing time with Mauricio and Daniela. Mauricio is married with Daniela. We met Mauricio in our small group in 1995, 1996. Mauricio was struggling with a homosexual background, a homosexual lifestyle. And he came to our small group, and he was trying to see how he could find healing in Jesus Christ. So at that time, nobody in our group, we didn't know how to help him. He went to Los Angeles. There is a rehabilitation center. It's called Desert Stream in Los Angeles. And Mauricio traveled for 2 years. He came back. He got married with Daniela. And they have a ministry in the last 20 years impacting the churches, not only in Argentina, but in South America. So when he invited me to his ministry of healing, I was learning a lot. But as I was saying, when I was in Spain during these 4 years, one question was coming to my mind. Is it worth it to be in Spain? Because it's so dry, and you try and you try, and the work is so slow that sometimes you are discouraged. When I was in the conference, many people from different parts of Argentina and South America were in the conference, and one lady came to me, and the lady said to me, "I have a word for you. I was praying in the last 2 days for confirmation from the Lord, and I have a word if you want to listen." So I said, "Yeah, what is the word?" And the word was, "Everything that you do is worth it. Todo lo que haces vale la pena." Todo lo que haces vale la pena. Everything you do is worth it. And it was just a perfect fit with this time that I was asking myself a question in Spain, and it was a confirmation. So I praise the Lord for His care over us.
And the passage that was related to that is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Mm-hmm. So when we arrived to our house in Madrid, we noticed that the tree in the corner of our house was sick. There was an almond tree, and so it was attracting a lot of wasps and flies and all kinds of insects. And so our kids were a little nervous about going into the backyard. And so we talked to the landlord about this, and he said, well, if you want to, you know, I can send someone to take it out. And we didn't feel okay with that. We love nature. We wanted to preserve the tree. And so we asked a friend, Samuel, who's a biologist, to come over and to come and analyze the tree. So after a time of evaluation, he arrived to the conclusion that the problem of this tree was the location. He said, well, the soil is not good for your tree. You know, it's just full of debris from the construction, the building. The roots don't have much room. It's surrounded by concrete. So the tree is really like, it's suffering. So the barely sufficient energy that the tree has is used for its survival. So we asked about, well, fruit, do you think it'll ever produce fruit? And he said, no, I don't think so. It's really like putting all its energy on surviving, and it will not be able to produce fruit. So this beautiful almond tree, year after year, was struggling. But the last summer that we were in the house, and to our surprise, we saw all these flowers coming up in the tree, and then we got excited when we started seeing little almonds on there. So it started producing kilos and kilos of almonds. So our kids were so excited to go there, out there every day and collect those. And we took this as an incredible analogy of our ministry. So the lives of many people are like this tree, but spiritually. They don't even realize that they're sick spiritually, and Jesus is the answer. They have questions, but they reject Jesus. And so also it was we took it as a confirmation from the Lord about coming back, and that we would see much fruit. And so my question for you today is, do you also, like this tree, need to find healing in your roots? Jesus is more than able to heal and transform your roots, anything that is not allowing you to produce fruit.
When I came back from Argentina from the conference that Mauricio was doing, I came back and I have the next ministry appointment that I have was preaching in this Colombian church. So I went and they invited me to lead a men's retreat. So I organized all the teaching for the men's retreat, and we did it. It was just an amazing retreat. It was great to be with this Colombian church. I finished the retreat. Started on Friday, Saturday, and we finished on Sunday. When I was finishing the session on Saturday, I dismissed everybody to go for supper in the dining room, and I was preparing everything for the next day. As I was preparing everything, two elders of the church stayed with me. One was sitting on the last row, and another guy was helping me. During the last session, it was unexpected, but I was sensing that the Holy Spirit was guiding me to teach not what I was preparing, or not everything that I prepared. Feeling that I needed to preach about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. As I thought about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I invite the guys that were in the men's retreat, if they wanted to come forward and be filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of them came forward, and we have a spontaneous time of worship and prayer for an hour. At that time, everybody was on the dining room, and I was preparing everything for the next day, for Sunday. And as I was going out, I was going out to the dining room, One guy was sitting on the last row. And I was talking with this guy and I was asking, are you okay? And he said, during the time of worship and prayer, the last time, I was feeling like I wanted to throw up. So I said, maybe tomorrow I'm going to keep an eye on that. If there is something spiritual, we can pray. But the other guy said to me, let's pray now. So as I was ready to pray, a word came into my mind, and the word was witchcraft, and I didn't know where this word was coming from. So I asked confirmation to this guy, and I said, this word, witchcraft, has something. You are sensing that you are struggling with something related with witchcraft. And he was explaining us how much he was afflicted and oppressed by witchcraft. So I said, okay, let's pray. And as I was praying, I was sensing the Holy Spirit to guide me. I was sensing that I needed to rebuke the evil spirit. And when I rebuked the evil spirit, I said, spirit of witchcraft, go away in the powerful name of Jesus. And in that moment, the guy just collapsed. And he went to the floor. So in that moment, it was kind of a new experience for me. I was praying, and I was thinking, I think it was a sense of inadequacy. I was thinking, oh, I need to go to the dining room to bring the whole group, and we all pray. But in that moment, I was sensing that Jesus softly was coming and directing me what I needed to do. And he said two simple things. You have a position in me. I'm going to deal with this stuff. And I gave you authority. Use the authority that I gave to you. So at that time, I pray what Jesus was saying. And I command this evil spirit to go to the place that Jesus set for that spirit. And that was a simple prayer. I looked to this man on the floor. He was mumbling, trying to say something to me. And I said to him, invite the Spirit of Christ. And when he was inviting the Spirit of Christ, I can tell you that the tension that I was experiencing, that we were experiencing in that room, was gone. He came back to normal. We helped him to stand up. We went to the dining room. He was sharing the testimony with the other guys that were there. And I remember that over and over, he was telling everybody that he was feeling lighter. I'm feeling lighter. He was saying in Spanish, me siento liviano. So it was an amazing time that God brought this man from captivity to freedom. And he was one of the elders of the church.
So when I got to Spain, or when we got to Spain, one of the first people that I met was Christina. We were neighbors. She just lives a block away from our place. And with the years, we became very good friends. Now, Christina has kind of like a socialist ideology, so very focused on helping people but not wanting to get close to God or the church. So I was working on a research paper for a course called Urban Counseling. And I asked Christina if she could help me with a counseling interview. She agreed, and she said, well, I'll come to your place. And we generally shared some tea times in the morning with her. So she said, I'll come for tea, and I'll share a struggle that I'm having right now. So I could identify that Christina was struggling with feelings of guilt and sadness as she saw her godmother get closer to dying. She thought she could have done a better job at being there for her godmother. And I mentioned that as a human being, it was impossible to be completely satisfying a person's need. Only God can do this. There were some tears, and I felt God was showing the right perspective on things and was freeing her from her feelings of guilt. I asked if I could pray for her, and I did. This was the first time, and she agreed for me to pray for her. And for a moment, Christina stared at me, smiling And that lasted like for a long time. I still remember her face and at that time. And as if a weight had been taken off her shoulders. And although she didn't say anything, I could sense a feeling of release in her. So because of moments like this, we find meaning in what we do as sons and daughters of the King, helping others break the chains just as God has done with us. My gift for Christina on her birthday was a Bible. At the beginning of our relationship, I know she wouldn't have probably received it, but because of the moments we have shared, she is ready to listen to more about Jesus and his message of love. So my question for you today is there something that you need Jesus to heal in your soul? Bring it to him because he's more than able.
And we need your prayers. We cannot do this alone. And Spain is a country that very divided. Divided in many ideologies. You can see in the north part of Spain, Catalonia, they want to be a country. A country Basque, they want to be a country. Canadian Islands, they want to be a country. When you go to the city hall in Madrid, they had a big banner that is saying refugees are welcome. If you go to the parties, the right-wing parties, they have messages like, we don't want Muslims here in this country. And if you go to another party, far-right party, they don't want immigrants. And they are building right now in Spain a message of fear. A message of fear that the immigrants will come and they will take our comfort in Spain. And so they are sending messages like we need to defend ourselves from the immigrants. And this is all about ideologies. As you can see, these ideologies are coming into our church. And we have even a political leader from a far right political party in one of our churches in Madrid. So you can see these messages, but we are in Spain to bring a different message. This is a ministry of reconciliation. And as you can see in the prayer card that we have on the back, these lines are the lines that we want to see. We want to see a community of faith that will have a teaching of Christ-centered values. Deep in Jesus means as well going deeper in my relationship with him, and Jesus will bring healing into our lives. So we need to build a community, a healing community, that everyone in the community will receive the empowerment by the Holy Spirit and live a life that is meaningful and with a purpose and a destiny.
Okay, so to conclude, we have a sign-up sheet in the foyer that you can look for. And if you want to receive more updates from us, you can sign up with your email. We also have a closed Facebook group called Papaveros in Spain. So if you want to be part of that, please sign up with your Facebook name and we'll add you to that. And we also would like you to be praying for a vehicle. So our vehicle gave up, broke down on us, and so we are praying now for a new vehicle in Spain, and also for wisdom in our decisions. So our time to go back would be during the summer this year, but we would need to see some things worked out before we go out, so we would appreciate your prayers for that. Thank you.